and you're listening to It's All About Food. Hi, and how are you today? Wow, it's been a big full week full of lots of fun food, and I'm going to be telling you about some of that in a little bit, and some wonderful events that have been going on. There's all kinds of really lovely, inspiring activity. So we'll be talking about that in a moment. But let's bring on my guest, and because I'm really looking forward to talking to her. Lorelei Wakefield is a vegan veterinarian and founder of Veterinary Concierge Care, which provides private VIP home care for NYC's beloved dogs and cats. She also runs Wakefield Vet, a consultation service for nonprofit groups as well as individual animal caregivers needing advice outside New York City. She's an expert in vegan dog and cat nutrition, as seen on Animal Planet in Cat Fancy magazine and the Journal of the American Veterinary Medical Association. Dr. Wakefield works regularly with the ASPCA and volunteers to advocate for farm animal rights. Sounds pretty good to me. How are you, Lorelei?
Hi, Karen. I'm good. How are you?
Good. Now, you've been really busy, and I'm glad you're taking a moment to talk with me.
I'm happy to be on.
Yeah. So tell me what's going on in your veterinarian life that's keeping you so busy.
Well, I do a few things right now. I have the veterinary concierge care, private home care for pets, so I've been doing that. I also do relief work at the ASPCA. And I work with some nonprofits as well.
You know, veterinary, I have to be very careful when I say that. I always want to leave out a few syllables.
You wouldn't be the only one.
Veterinarian. Okay. I'm going to be very careful with that. I am not a dog or cat kind of person. We don't have any companion animals here. One reason is because the building doesn't allow them. That doesn't stop a lot of people from having them in our building, but we're not supposed to have them. But I am a person who believes that all sentient beings should live a life that they want to live based on their own design, free of exploitation and lots of wonderful care. So how is it that you decided you wanted to take care of animals?
I've always loved animals, and I've been vegetarian since 97 and vegan since 99, and I was sorting out what to do with my life, and I had always had some interest in science, and I thought, you know, I love animals. I have such a strong interest in animal rights and welfare, and since I had been vegan, my allergies actually went away. I grew up with really terrible allergies to dogs and cats and kind of everything else. And as a wonderful side effect of becoming vegan, I had no more allergies. So suddenly it was actually a possibility for me to be a vet. So I ended up going to vet school.
That's nice. And that's such an important point. People don't connect those dots, but a lot of foods, like milk, for example, can cause allergies. They inflame our nasal passages, and that makes us more sensitive to responding to other things that can aggravate it even more.
Exactly.
Yeah, and then when you take that away, all of a sudden you're not as sensitive to these other things, like pollen or pet hair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wonderful. I'm glad that happened to you so that you were able to do what you were meant to do in life. I'm wondering about your training as a veterinarian. And I know that with medical doctors for humans, I want to assume that most, if not all, of those people go to train because they want to do good. They want to help people. And then something happens when they go to school, when they get involved in business, and when capitalism kind of takes over, and when laws take over, and administration take over, and all kinds of, and misinformation takes over, and things get kind of messy, and a lot of physicians, we don't trust them, and they don't know really the best care for us. There's a lot of things that go on. Is it similar with veterinarians?
I'm going to say I believe there's a huge difference. You have to really love animals to become a veterinarian, because it is sadly not as lucrative as people think it is. In fact, they just did a wonderful study in the AVMA, American Veterinary Medical Association's journal, about the return on investment of becoming a veterinarian. So currently, a veterinarian goes to undergrad for 4 years, typically, and to veterinary school for 4 years, and some people will also do a year internship and a residency. Average debt for veterinarians right now is $130,000, and so they found out that a woman who goes to veterinary school, the return on investment over a lifetime, over had she just done a four-year undergrad degree, is negative $40,000. I believe. And for men, it's something like positive 70. So
wow, yeah, there you go.
It's not, people do it because they love animals. And I know we wish that veterinary costs were less expensive, but I promise you, your vet is not in it just for the money, because there's not that much money in it.
Well, there's a range of types of veterinarians, and my guess is that those who are part of the animal agriculture business might do a little better.
That's hard to say. Yeah, there have been different studies. I think a lot of the time it depends on exactly what part of animal agriculture they may be in. A lot of times small animal vets come out making more money than the agriculture vets, but still, that doesn't preclude the fact that decisions are made based on finances and not always on animal welfare in those fields.
Okay. You're a vegan, and I love that.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes total sense to me. There are veterinarians that, as I mentioned, are involved in animal agriculture and are involved with the exploitation and slaughter of animals. So were you involved with students, and are you familiar with veterinarians who do that, that were interested in going along that way? I would think, like a doctor, you want to save your patient's life and keep them healthy, but there are some that are actually in a business to protect animals until it's time to kill them. That's kind of weird, isn't it?
Sure. It is kind of weird to someone who's vegan or vegetarian. I did go to school and know some of those people, and I've met some really wonderful people who go into animal agriculture. And it's just, you know, we're all raised differently, and if you're raised on a farm thinking that that's just how things are and how things should be, I know some animal agriculture vets who really try their hardest to make the animals as comfortable as they can during their brief lives. There are others that I've heard about and read about that I don't know personally that seem to be making a lot of decisions that are not really, absolutely not in the animal's best interest. And they're kind of placed in a tight squeeze point because their clients are farmers. These farmers make money off of the slaughter of animals, or using animals for milk or whatnot. It's a tough position to be in for them to turn around and say, well, you know, Mr. Farmer, you're doing things completely wrong, and to ask them to change what they're doing might be $1 million proposition.
Yeah, so it all comes down to money,
doesn't
it?
It's a lot of economics. It's not as simple as we'd like it to be.
Yep.
That's why this consumer push has been so important, to say we're not going to buy pork from pigs that were raised in gestation crates. We're not going to buy eggs that were from hens in battery cages.
Let's talk about dogs and cats and the happy side. So you are an expert in vegan dog and cat nutrition, and right when I say that, I'm sure there are hairs going up on people saying, wait a minute, you're going to make your dogs and cats vegan? Tell me about dogs and cats, and can they be vegan, and should they be vegan, and how do you do it?
Sure. Dogs and cats can be vegan. They certainly can, because I've seen healthy vegan dogs and healthy vegan cats. The caveat is that cats are actually obligate carnivores. So by making them vegan, it does go against their natural system, and it's very tricky. And some cats I have seen thrive and do wonderfully on a commercially prepared vegan diet that's formulated to meet their nutritional needs. But other cats don't do so well on a vegan diet and need to either go back to a conventional meat-based diet, or some can get by on some sort of mix, which is what I recommend for people who want to give their cats vegan food, is to do a mix of here's some meat food and here's some vegan food, and that percentage will vary depending on what the cat can handle. Right now, I don't think there is a cat food that is vegan and formulated that is safe enough to be their only diet. That's not to say I'm against it. If someone wants to do it, I will support them and help them running the right blood tests and urine tests to make sure their cat's healthy. So it is a little bit tricky. Dogs, on the other hand, they're technically carnivores. They're in the order Carnivora. But when it comes to their physiology, they're more like us. They're more omnivorous. So dogs can really thrive on a vegan diet, and it's not so controversial. I would say at least 50% of vets would agree with me that dogs can be vegetarian and probably can be vegan and be quite healthy. And they've done studies in India, too, where a large percentage of the population has been vegetarian for centuries. And those dogs thrive. They do wonderfully. I want to say one more thing about the cats. This is an issue where, okay, so if you really want to feed your cat vegan food, that is someone's personal choice, and I will support them and the cat as best as I can, because in the end, we're saying this cat's health may not be 100% optimal. Maybe it will be, but we are saving how many chickens and how many cows? We're saving their lives completely. So in my mind, I can understand that argument.
Now, it must be harder to transition an older cat rather than starting a kitten on a plant diet. Is that true?
It's a little bit easier to start a kitten, but I will say these new vegan cat foods that they have are really highly palatable. There's one, it's called AmiCat, AmiCat, and it's a dry food that I've seen cats go crazy for. Cats who have a bowl of regular meat foods and a bowl of the AmiCat food, and I'm not getting any money for saying this.
Wow.
But they love that AmiCat food.
What's in it that they love so much? Do you know?
I don't know what the exact ingredient is. That's the thing that they go for. But there are foods out there that make it a lot easier for you to transition a pet at any age.
Now, what about feeding dogs and cats real food, foods that you make at home?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a good choice?
That can be an excellent choice when it's done carefully. If you were feeding them an omnivorous diet, it might be a little bit more simple to get all their nutrients met. For cats, if you're feeding a cat a vegan diet, you'd be a lot safer using a commercially prepared food because it's very tricky to get their exact nutrient requirements met on that diet. But for dogs, you could feed them something like V-Dog formulated food, and then you can add things like some carrots or apples or some green beans, and those sort of things can be a very nutritious component of their diet.
Now, we've heard all kinds of crazy things, just like with human food, all the horrible ingredients that are put in them, and I imagine it's worse with a lot of commercial dog and cat foods, that all the stuff they wouldn't feed humans, they try and sell to dogs and cats. So are there things people should look out for?
Yeah, that's a great point. So, of course, they put byproducts in the conventional meat food. So that means, like, hair and weird organs and stuff that we would never eat can end up in pet food. And that's a wonderful reason to choose vegan food for your pet, because you're avoiding those byproducts. You're avoiding things like antibiotics and hormones that they feed the farm animals that end up being slaughtered for consumption.
Oh, you know, I never even thought about that. So
yeah.
They don't directly add it to the food, but it's in the animals because they've consumed it.
Exactly.
Wow. Has anybody done any studies on that?
Not in the animal realm, as far as I know.
Yeah, I haven't heard of that. That's a good one. Oh, we live in such a crazy world, don't we?
Yes.
Do you have any good cat or dog stories, taking care of any, or when something really lovely happened?
Sure. I have a friend, you won't mind if I mention him and his dog. His name is Todd Emco, and he runs Darwin Animal Doctors. He has a dog named Piggy, and Piggy is a vegan dog, and he was found after being in an accident, and he had very severe damage to one of his hind legs, and he needed to have it amputated. He was called Piggy because he was missing most of his fur, and he was adopted by Todd. He was placed on a vegan diet, and he ended up healing incredibly fast. The vets were amazed. And his fur regrew. Now he has a gorgeous coat. He's a lovely dog, and he's this fashion model for various fur, dog clothes and that sort of thing. So he has a gorgeous coat, and it's just wonderful to see the positive effects of a vegan diet on a dog.
Now, are there foods that shouldn't be given to dogs and cats? Occasionally I see some posts that said, did you know you shouldn't be giving your dogs this and that? And people are like, no, I didn't know.
Yeah. One thing that's come out in the past few years but not everyone knows about is grapes and raisins are toxic to dogs and cats. We're not sure, but avocados may be toxic, so we recommend avoiding that and also avoiding most nuts.
Avoiding what?
Most nuts, avoiding that. Chocolate, pretty much everyone knows, is toxic, and also we recommend avoiding onions and garlic.
Now, what happens if they eat grapes and raisins, if the dogs eat grapes and raisins?
It can cause damage to the internal organs.
Wow.
Sometimes to the kidneys, which lands them in the hospital.
Mm-hmm. And dogs don't know that they shouldn't eat those foods.
No, they have no idea. They think they taste delicious.
Yeah. Oh, that's very sad. All right. Tell me about Wakefield Vet. Now, you said you have this concierge care for private VIP home care, but what happens at Wakefield Vet?
I've been consulting with organizations. So for instance, I've helped write protocols for treatment of dogs in large-scale dog fighting cruelty cases. So I'll do that sort of thing, or help write protocols to assist people who have an issue with animal hoarding. And then on an individual scale, I've been able to do consults by phone or Skype with people who want to transition their pets to a vegan or vegetarian diet. Because most vets are really, it's so controversial, most vets are not really open to that. And not only am I open to it and also supportive, especially in the case of dogs and vegan diets, but I know what to recommend for follow-up care as far as regular blood tests and urine tests. So I offer that service.
Do you have dogs and cats at home?
Yes, I currently have one foster cat who is probably going to be adopted very soon.
That's
Gwyneth.
That's always tough, right?
What's that?
That's always tough, right? You kind of like fall in love with them and then they go.
I've had so much fun fostering a bunch of cats and kittens, and now I've just fallen in love, so I think I'll be keeping her.
That's nice. Are there things that we should know more about dogs and cats that people just take for granted and don't know or don't assume? Anything you found in working with them that would help all of us? It's a broad question.
Yeah, there's a lot of things. I'd say on the behavioral side of things, if you notice your pet is engaged in behaviors that you don't want them to do, something that really helps is just to give them more stimulation. So something that just means more love and attention, or for indoor cats, it might mean more playtime or more toys, and safe toys. And for dogs, it might mean longer walks or more time to run around off-leash in a dog park or that sort of thing. So that can really help if you're having behavioral issues. And then medically, there's a lot, but basically feeding your pet the highest quality food you can afford makes a big difference. You know, if we ate McDonald's every day, we wouldn't be very healthy. But if we ate at Whole Foods every day, we're probably doing a lot better. So if you can afford higher quality food for your pet, it's going to make a big difference in the long run.
I think those 2 points apply to humans as well as cats and dogs.
I think you're right.
Yeah, we could all use going for more playtime and long walks and more attention from those we care about, right?
Mm-hmm.
We can learn so much. What about, now I'm kind of fascinated by all the species that are on this planet, and, you know, I don't know why we're here, and I don't think anybody does, but sometimes I think that each species has some really unique and wonderful characteristics that we can all benefit from and learn from. What do you think those characteristics are that are really special in dogs and cats that we don't have?
I'll tell you a story about my foster cat. And it's about their ability to be really present in the moment, which Eckhart Tolle has written about. And so this cat, unfortunately my story today about animals with amputations, well, she also had an incident where she was attacked by a dog and had really severe damage to her hind leg that wasn't repairable. So she ended up having a hind limb amputation a few weeks ago. And I fostered her so she could recover from that until she was ready for adoption and learn how to walk on three legs. Mm. What was amazing to me is I met her maybe 3 to 5 days after she had the surgery. And all she wanted was love and attention, and she'd just look at me and purr.
Mm.
And she never seems to think about that leg. She never acts like she's in pain. She just has moved on with her life. Every now and then, I'll see her in this funny position, like she's trying to scratch her ear with a leg that's no longer there, and that's the one pathetic thing she'll do. But then she realizes that she can use her front paw to scratch it, and she's fine.
Oh, wow.
But it's just so amazing. You know, if that were a person, we would be traumatized, obviously.
Accept and move on.
She is just moving on, and it's such a beautiful thing for me to see.
What do you
think? Just really in the moment.
Yeah, we all, we're not good at that, are we? Being in the moment and accepting what is and moving on. Yeah, something we need to remind ourselves.
They're very good at that, and they're excellent teachers.
Right. Now, what about breeding of cats and dogs? Mm-hmm. Do you have an opinion on that?
Sure. I think it's unsurprising that I'm not for breeding cats and dogs when we have this overpopulation crisis and there's not enough room in our shelters and millions are getting put down every year, and it's so sad. So I know that people like having certain breeds because they're lovely, and certainly certain breeds are just so wonderful, but I just can't justify that, you know, to breed more pets
right
when we have too many. So, but there are breed rescues, which is a wonderful alternative.
But isn't breeding unhealthy for the future animals?
It can be unhealthy, certainly. people are, right now, one thing I see is people want these tiny dogs, so they're breeding the little dogs, and they have trouble. They're just, they've been so genetically altered over the years and with these specific breedings that there are certain breeds that can't even give birth naturally and end up having to do C-sections on these poor dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot for them to go through. They don't understand.
Well, we don't know what they think, if they understand or not.
That's true.
Oh, yeah. Who knows? I'm not even going to say. Now, what about, there's a lot of, unfortunately, animal experimentation, vivisection, and I've read some of the benefits of that for animals is that mm-hmm. we really know how to treat and take care of an animal, cat or dog, better than humans because we've done so many awful experiments on them.
That may be true, but certainly I would give back those few things that we've learned
mm-hmm.
in exchange for not having done the experiments.
Yeah. It's a terrible thing.
There's a lot of art to medicine, and we like to look at scientific studies. But as we've seen in human medicine, studies may tell us one thing 1 year, and 10 years later, the complete opposite.
Yeah, isn't that fascinating? I mean, we're hearing that all the time. And one of my favorite studies, I think it was, came out a couple of years ago where they talked about no matter how objective we try to be, and I'm not saying that a lot of these people who do studies are objective. Usually they want a certain outcome. But even when we try to be objective, there's something that goes on within us that still adds a certain amount of subjectivity to the results. And then it's hard to repeat those results later on. It's just fascinating how things change.
The observer bias.
Yeah, things that you would never even know were there are there. Yeah. Whew. Okay. So what's on your horizon coming up with dogs and cats?
Well, the main thing coming up is I'm working on the veterinary concierge care, which is the private home care for pets, and that's fun. I'm working with some vets that I've known for years from the ASPCA and some technicians from there, too, as well as the behaviorists. So that's exciting because what I will tell you, whether you're in New York City or not, is having a vet come to your home is so nice for not only you, but the pets are just so much more relaxed at home. And, of course, that makes sense because they probably associate some negative things with the veterinary hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a nice service to offer.
So this concierge care, how does that work? Are people welcoming other people's dogs and cats into their home?
No, it's what it is that a veterinarian comes to your home or hotel or office to examine your pet there. So it's just the veterinarian and a technician if needed, and you and your pet, or companion animal, I should say more accurately.
Mm. Let's bring back house visits for everyone, shall we?
Exactly.
Wouldn't that be nice to have a doctor come to your home when you don't feel like getting out of bed?
And that's what they used to do. So this that same thing. When your pet is sick, the last thing they want to do is go for a cab ride.
Right. Yeah, that's nice. Very nice. Okay, well, Lorelei, it's been delightful talking to you and so lovely to hear what you're doing for dogs and cats and the planet.
Thank you, Karen. It's been so nice talking with you, too.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Thank you. And I learned a few things, too.
Good.
I'm going to check out that Ami cat. I don't have cats, but from my friends who have cats, who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah, great. Thank you. Okay, thanks for joining me. All the best.
Okay, you too.
Okay. Well, that was Lorelei Wakefield, a veterinarian who is vegan and an expert in a lot of vegan and dog and cat issues, including nutrition. Now we're going to take a little break, and we'll be back in a few minutes.